I'm Johnny Mack with today's Daily Common News. Lots to get to today, starting with late night. President Trump over the weekend attempted a conference and he repeated a story to the crowd about a friend who once referred to Trump as the most persecuted person in American history. Seth Meyers said, "I like the idea that this never occurred to Trump until a friend suggested it. Is that where he gets all his ideas? You know, Donald, I was thinking your situation kind of reminds me of, well, the Salem witch trials. It's almost like a hunt for witches, you know, like a witch hunt." Trump sat back and he thought about it and he came to the conclusion that, yes, his friend was right. I'm sure he was just sitting in his study with a pipe and smoking jacket surrounded by walls of books, comparing himself to other historical examples of famous persecuted Americans. Let's see, there's me, there's Rosa Parks, there's Reuben Hurricane Carter. I guess out of those three, it's got to be me. Jason Zinnemann is a writer for the New York Times who covers comedy, and he attributes the following to Chris Rock at the Barclays show, I think, the other night. Rock apparently said, "I got slapped by Suge Smith, shake that crap off, and went to work the next day." The India Times also says that Rock said, "I'm not a victim," and joked that he had shook that off and put it behind him. "Yeah, that hurt, but I shook that off and I went to work the next day. I don't go to the hospital for a paper cut." Samantha Bee's Full Frontal with Samantha Bee canceled. CBS and TNT have been slowing down their programming. In May, a Warner Brothers Discovery executive said viewership data and other metrics would help the company decide which shows to keep and which to cancel. Apparently, they have decided to cancel Full Frontal. I did notice in the media coverage today, and I go to a bunch of entertainment websites to help prep this show, it's not like this was the headline. On some sites, this was sidebar seven stories down. So I think that gives us a relative metric of how popular Full Frontal was or not. The last episode of Full Frontal was taped in mid-June. Sam was hosting the program from a remote location after being diagnosed with coronavirus. That sucks if your last show was remote. Sam said, "I know the other late night shows took the week off when they got COVID, but I'm not like those other guys. I need attention." In the closing scene of what would be the final episode, Sam Bee was revealed to be in Paris. While playing the accordion, she told viewers she was coming back to America. The official Twitter account for Full Frontal wrote, "We're so thankful for our loyal audience, our amazing team, and we got to annoy the right people every week that there wasn't wrestling or baseball or a very special episode of Big Bang." To our loyal fans, we love you. You're very special. Go home and go home in peace. From the Press Democrat, your home for comedy news. Tickets sold out for Dave Chappelle's two shows this week at Santa Rosa's Luther Burbank Center when they went on sale without prior announcement. Two more shows were added. Within hours, those sold out too. The center reported a total of 6,364 tickets sold in 8 hours. You may remember the uproar last week when Dave Chappelle tried to play Minneapolis. Well, encouraged by those protesters, Santa Rosa native Joy Anderson launched an online protest against the Luther Burbank Center's booking. Anderson had gathered 100 signatures by last Friday. Anderson said, "We got a response from the Luther Burbank Center that they were willing to meet with us. Sounds like we might get a meeting, but we haven't seen anything yet." Dave Chappelle is using the queer community, particularly the trans community, as a punchline, and that's spreading stereotypes. Anita Wigglesworth is the center's VP of Programming and Marketing. Anita explained that the LBC is renting the facility to Live Nation, which produces Chappelle's shows, and says, "We wouldn't be the ones to make that decision to cancel or move the shows. We're hearing feedback from the community, and we always want to be sensitive and hear people. The LBC has been a gathering place for over 40 years, working with the community, blah, blah, blah. The show's being offered by Live Nation, who has rented our facility over many years. During that time, they've brought a wide variety of artists and voices to the stage. We always appreciate feedback from our community, and we have shared the collective concerns we've received with Live Nation. In addition, we've been inviting those who have expressed their thoughts to meet and keep the conversation going, so we're able to find ways to better support and elevate the voices of our entire community." Let me translate there. Hey, there was a pandemic and we can actually sell out the theater for a few nights? Come on in, Dave. Fat Joe wants people to stop criticizing Dave Chappelle. The rapper caught up with TMZ. Fat Joe said, "They love him. They love him. Everybody's got to take time out and laugh. When it's a comedian, we look at it as fun, humor, laughter. Of course, there's some sensitive issues that our brothers and sisters in the LGBTQ community are facing, which is fear, people beating them up for no reason. All types of things are happening to them unfairly, but I don't think Dave Chappelle making fun of them or me. I just laugh, you know, and I take it for what it is. You mess around, you walk into the comedy club after they already started and you try to get your seat. They got to tear you up for half an hour. I think comedy has always been a relief. I always made fun of everything. Sometimes it's too soon, but other than that, I love comedy. I love to laugh, and that's the beauty of comedy. He's just being a comedian." James Austin Johnson, you know him from Saturday Night Live. He's in Nashville at Zany's tonight and tomorrow. He talked about developing his comedy as a teenager. James said, I was repeating 8 minutes of Brad Stein's CD, Rebel Without a Cause, because he's a clean comedian. I was repeating 8 minutes of his act as a monologue in middle school monologue competitions. My dad, who worked at Tribeca Nazarene University, needed to fill time at a singing competition called Trojan Idols, because they were the Trojans. He asked me to do comedy, 10 minutes of comedy to fill the time while they counted the votes for the singers. I didn't really think much about it other than, all right, I'll do 10 minutes of my own stuff. I think an hour before the show, I wrote down my own jokes. I'd never written a joke in my life, and I did that. I did a weird dance to Another Brick in the Wall, part two. I did some stuff like, hey, don't grandma smell weird? And all that kind of stuff. It went unreasonably well. My second time at my freshman talent show in high school, it went unreasonably well again. And then maybe the next 30 times I did stand up were abject bombs, like horrendous, like pretty unwoke, definitely trying to be like Brad Stein or Robin Williams, just failing and being like probably offensive. I'm glad there's no footage of this dark period because I don't know what I was saying up there. I was just repeating things I saw on Comedy Central. I mean, it just all went south. By the time I got to college, I didn't really do anything freshman or sophomore year that I was trying to be a poet. And then I found NashvilleStandUp.com and I got in the open mic scene. I found out about open mics that didn't card, and oftentimes I'd sneak in through a patio door. I'd get a Pepsi, you know, I'd buy a $7 Pepsi and try not to annoy anybody. I'm sure now that Nashville's a bigger town the last 10 years, I'm sure it's policed better. But I got kicked out of Spanky's. Spanky's was an open mic at a terrible sports bar behind the Harding Place Walmart. I remember getting kicked out for being under 21 a couple times. It came with its hazards. Kevin Rooney, an Emmy-winning comedy writer and performer, died July 9th in his home after a long battle with diabetes and end-stage renal failure. He was 71. This story from Deadline. Rooney wrote Jay Leno's first comedy special, Jay Leno and the American Dream. He also worked on Leno's What's My Beef tirades for Late Night with David Letterman in the 80s. Leno said, Kevin Rooney was the greatest music comedian could ever have. I got so much material just through conversations with Kevin. The first time I saw him, I thought, oh boy, this guy's really good. It's a real voice. There's no gimmicks. He didn't have a catchphrase. There wasn't a funny look. When times were rough, they throw out the catchphrase or funny look. Kevin didn't have any of that. I don't know anybody who thought they were better than Kevin Rooney. When Kevin took the stage, would all step aside. Me, Seinfeld, Larry Miller, at the end of the night, would all say, Rooney's story was really funny. We were genuinely happy when he had success. He was a guy who earned it, a unique voice. From Chortle, a comedian has told us she was turned down for a gig because she was too Jewish. When Katie Price called out the promoter on social media, she was disappointed with the lack of support from fellow comics. Katie says she sent in a video of her stand-up and received the reply, thank you for your clip, Katie. I personally enjoyed your comedy, but reckon it's too specialized for my seaside audience of pensioners. We are no way as cosmopolitan as London and do not have a Jewish community here, so some of your clever material would miss the mark. Really sorry to disappoint. Katie Price in the Jewish Chronicle wrote, while not violently anti-Semitic to the point of saying, I won't book you because my audience loathes Jews, it's pretty obviously implying that the audience wouldn't enjoy a comedy night with an openly Jewish act on the bill. She said she felt let down by the comedy industry's response after posting the email. A few non-Jewish comedians messaged me privately, but these could be counted on one hand. I'd love to rely on my fellow comedians to publicly condemn this racism when they see it or hear about it. I also can't help but imagine how the comedy community might rally around me had this promoter decided not to book me based upon my sexuality. I'd expect significantly more outrage online. Price is a former finalist in the LGBTQ Comedian of the Year award. From WBTV, Charlotte's The Comedy Zone hosted its first show since a shooting inside the club. That was the night Craig Robinson was scheduled to appear. On Friday night, the Southern Mama Tour stopped at The Comedy Zone. I am not familiar with the Southern Mama Tour. Let's Google. Originally from Mumford, Alabama, Darren Knight is the fastest rising comedian in American history. His character, Southern Mama, is a household name in the South. He was named one of 10 comics to watch by Variety magazine. All right, I'm too busy this week with Montreal. We'll dig in on Southern Mama next week for sure. Anyway, the article quotes DJ Dank Williams, who said, I'm Southern Mama's DJ, traveling the nation with Southern Mama. We don't have any concerns about coming here to Charlotte. Eddie Ift was set to perform this week, but he tweeted out to fans he would have to reschedule due to the shooting. So much to cover this week with the Just for Laughs Montreal Comedy Festival. For the rest of the week, what I have done is I have recorded the second half of the podcasts, and then my plan is to have the first half come to you from Montreal, so we'll see how that shakes out, but that's the plan anyway. So I've been recording a lot, and my voice is a little shot, which is why I'm glad Mary went to buymeacoffee.com. /dailycomedynews and bought me a coffee. Thank you very much, Mary. And Mary's note is awesome because it said, saw the Just for the Culture show on Saturday and really enjoyed it. But man, if that's the culture show, I can't imagine what the nasty show is like. Just sent you a contribution to have a coffee at our national donut chain while you're here enjoying our fair city of Montreal. So do I have to go to the one that rhymes with Jim Norton's, which is an old joke that I would always make on the trips. So I might get some Jim Norton's coffee and donuts while I'm up there, right? I got to be local. Mary, thank you very much for the coffee and thank you for listening every day. I've got this week's contest for you. Who would you rather have cook for you? Your choices, Sebastian Maniscalco or Jim Gaffigan. Go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News or the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast Group, to participate. DR picked Sebastian. He knows how to cook the Italian. Scott Beckett wrote, Sebastian cooks in a cardigan. Seems like that's negative points, but he's Italian, so I'll ignore the fashion. All right, Sebastian Maniscalco so far winning. Now, tonight in Montreal, I'll be at New Faces, so I'm going to miss Jimmy Carr. Here's the problem. I need to go to New Faces. It's so core to what I do in my career, including this podcast. And New Faces is at 7 and 9, and Jimmy Carr's show is at 8. I can't do both. I love Jimmy Carr. But like my advice to you in the past about comedy festivals is, I can see Jimmy Carr on Netflix, right? So as much as I would love to be at that show, I can still experience Jimmy Carr. So that's my advice when you go to festivals. See things you normally can't see. The Daily Hive caught up with Jimmy Carr and said, let's give Jimmy Carr a key to the city of Montreal. Carr says, I think I might be the most capped player, using a soccer term, meaning he's played Montreal many times. He thinks it's his 15th time. I really think so. I think I might have the title of reigning champ. Carr says he thinks Just for Laughs is an excuse to visit one of the greatest cities in the world. Let's face it. It's French food, American portions. That sums up Montreal, right? Montreal's a European city with somehow the hygiene of North America. It's such a wonderful mix. The people are fantastic. Jimmy says Montreal's bilingual nature of the festival adds color and life to the summertime of the city, and I think there's something about the Canadian people as well. Has he picked up any French during his 2 decades of Montreal trips? Absolutely not. But that's part of my British heritage. Speaking French either very, very badly or just substituting with English spoken loudly. When asked if he splurges on Montreal's poutine and bagels during his time there, Carr says, I mean, obviously, I'll go to La Banquise. I'm not an idiot. My other half is from Toronto, so I'll have to bring home an entire suitcase of bagels. I bring an extra one, fill it with Montreal bagels, and then freeze them so we can enjoy them for days. They're just better. I can't understand why they're not available like that in the UK. Carr says he watches a lot of shows, 2 or 3 a day when he's in Montreal, and says the return of a full scale Just for Laughs is a great and wonderful thing for Montreal. Coming in Just for Laughs is like following a band. You can take a chance and see the lesser known comedians and feel like you have skin in the game. It feels like we get comedians 2 years ahead of time in Montreal. Yes, that is it. Jimmy gets it. And that is what I'm trying to convey to you this week. Let me read that again. We get comedians 2 years ahead of time in Montreal. Amen, brother. He wants his 75 minutes of stage time to be the best at the festival. It won't be, but that's the aim. I want to try my damnedest to make people laugh. You know that thing when you hear 4 jokes that all work within a minute and you can't catch your breath because you're laughing too much? That's what the goal is. Pete Holmes is the MC at New Faces tonight. He says he tries to be a positive force for the newcomers because he knows how nervous some of them will be. Some guys and women go out there absolutely fearless, but if they're like me, you feel this pressure, the expectations. I just want to be the smiling golden retriever face that makes it as gentle as possible. He talked about his HBO show Crashing. If there had been a 4th season of Crashing, the character Pete Holmes would have stopped crashing. Mirroring the real-life comic's own path, the character would have done Montreal, he would have gotten reps, and then he would have gotten the talk show. Pete loves Montreal and says, if I go to Montreal, I'm always surprised and delighted that there's not only vegan, but raw vegan food. It's good pre-show food. I can't recall the name of it, but I've gone and I'll certainly be doing that again. Some more advice for younger comedians. If it sucks, that's how you know you're doing it correctly. That's my advice. When things are hard or humiliating, just know it was that way for everybody, except maybe Dave Chappelle. Veer Daz is playing tomorrow night. Why are you telling us about this now, Johnny Mac? Because I told you, I recorded the back end of the podcast the next couple days, and half of Thursday's already in the can. That's why. Veer Daz, tomorrow night. He caught up with The Suburban. They asked him, what do you remember about your first JFL appearance? Veer Daz said, I came all the way from India to do 4.5 minutes of stand-up. Kevin Hart had an international taping for his Laugh Out Loud gala, so we flew in and we flew back out. These days, I'm happy now to be doing about 20 times that duration, but it's pretty much the same, except the rooms are larger and I'm now able to sell tickets in most places, and that's a blessing, but you're still worrying about the laughs and about every single joke, just like you were back then. I think recognition buys you 2 minutes of grease time on a stage. Now people say, oh, I know who you are. I've seen something you've done. Now make me laugh, because I spent a lot of money and I got a babysitter. Let's take a look at tonight's schedule. So you've got 38 choices today. So 7 o'clock, I'll be at New Faces, which means I cannot go see Tommy Tiernan, Jackie Novak, Maria Bamford, Brit-ish, which is a show I would like, Just for the Culture, which I hear is crushing, including for Mary, who bought me a coffee, and Iron Ladle's first farewell tour, the perfect blend of stand-up and metal, coming from the world's 789th best heavy metal band, Iron Ladle. That's just 7 o'clock, 7:30, Sam J, Atsuko Atsaka, Best of the Fest, the Sklar Brothers, Rachel Feinstein, 8 o'clock, Jimmy Carr, who I can't go see, Hannah Gatsby, Jimmy O. Yang, who you guys have heard me talk about how much I like, and Fest at the Nest. 9 o'clock, I don't know what my late plan is yet. I'd been planning on seeing Acaster, but they told me no tickets available. So let's see, Rosebud Baker, Zenaib Johnson, Preacher Lawson, Randy Feltface is who I have my eyes on, but I have to secure tickets. 9:15, the goddamn Comedy Jam, 9:30, Brit-ish again, that could be a possibility for me. The Nasty Show, Acaster, Ryan Hamilton might be good. 9:45, Best of the Fest. 10:30, Fest at the Nest. Miss Pat, Reese Nicholson, Deanne Smith, Giannis Pappas. And if I'm still up at midnight, The Worst, hosted by Big J Okerson. Moses Storm, a different show. The Alternative Show. The Sklar Brothers are on the picture there. And Midnight Surprise. That's your Wednesday night in Montreal. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your shows. My voice is shot. Thank you for the coffee, Mary. Bye.